Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Chavav Amud Bet by the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Meir Ad Arba Shot. Yehuda says that the time for Shacharit goes until the fourth hour. Ibaydahu Ad Vad Bichlal Odil Ma Ad Velo Ad Bichlal. When Rabbi Yehuda says Ad Arba Shot, does that mean including the fourth hour itself, or until the fourth hour, the beginning of the fourth hour, which means 3 hours? Then when you begin the fourth hour, already that's the end of Zman Shacharit, or does it mean including the entire fourth hour? Basically, until the beginning of the fifth hour. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Plaga Mincha. Rabbi Yehuda says you can daven Mincha until halfway through Mincha Ketana. I amart Bishlama Ad Velo Ad Bichlal. If you say that it does not include the amount itself, meaning only until, but not including, Hainu Dika bin Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan, then it makes sense that that's the difference in the opinion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. Because Plaga Mincha, as we just discussed above, was 11 hours minus a quarter on the day, 10 hours and 45 minutes, with an hour and a quarter left on the day. So that's halfway through Mincha Ketana. Now, if you say until that point, but not including, then he says 10:45 on the day is the end of Mincha. Chachamim say sunset. But if you say Ad Va'ad Bichlal, meaning up till and including Plaga Mincha, well, if you include Plaga Mincha, it means you're at sunset. That means he and the Rabbanan are saying the exact same thing. Eli Amart, Ad Vad Bichlal, Rabbi Yehuda, Ainu Rabbanan. Elomai. So what do you want to suggest now? Ad Velo Ad Bichlal, that it's up to, but not including, Ema Seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of the, right? The Bishol Musafim Kol Yom, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad Sheva Shot. Musaf is all day. Rabbi Yehuda says, until the seventh hour. Now here, it's in the Braita, it mentions Rabbi Yehuda says until Sheva Shaot. Our Mishnah, Tosafot says, should not have the girsa of Rabbi Yehuda Omer and Sheva Shaot. Tosafot says, why not? Everything else we have Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and all of a sudden this piece is missing, and in the Braita you have Rabbi Yehuda and Sheva Shaot. Tosafot says that Rabbi brought Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah everywhere where we paskin like him. Ad Arba Shaot, L'chatchila, one should finish Acharit until the fourth hour. So he brought Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We're going to see later in today's daf that when it comes to Mincha, it's the Avid Gemar Avid, that you're allowed to paskin either like Rabbi Yehuda or like the Chachamim, by Mincha time. So that means Plaga Mincha is relevant. By Musaf, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, Rabbi did not bring his opinion in the Mishnah. Although it is found here in the Braita, and you can see in our Mishnah that we got lifted or placed in there as well, and that's why there are parentheses around it in our Mishnah. Why does the Gemara say when Rabbi Yehuda says until Sheva Shaot, that proves to you that it's up to and including? Because the Tanya, we have a Braita. We discussed this yesterday. If you have a competition between Musaf and Mincha, Mitpalel Shal Mincha, V'achakach Shal Musaf. You daven Mincha first, then you daven Musaf, Shizuta Dira, Vezuenata Dira. You go by which one is more frequent. Mincha is more frequent than Musaf. You have competition between Mincha and Musaf. We go with Mincha first, and then Musaf afterwards. Yehuda Omer, Mitzvalel Shal Musaf, Achar Kach Shal Mincha. You daven Musaf first, then Mincha, Shizu Overet, Vezuena Overet. Because Musaf has a time limit. It's going to end at the seventh hour. Mincha, you can continue davening for the rest of the day. Now, Eino Chanami, the Chachamim agreed to that principle. If it's a mitzvah overet, we would pick that over to Dira. The difference is that the Chachamim think Musaf and Mincha end at the same time. So since they end at the same time, Mincha will always get precedence. Even if you don't have enough time left, you're going to say Mincha because Tadir Shenu, Tadir Kod. Very good. So David says, oh, wait a minute.
Only if you do both of them.
Only if you can do both of them. But here, they end at the same time. The only reason you might do Musaf and not Mincha is because there is Tashlumim for Mincha, there is no Tashlumim for Musaf. That'd be the only reason to pick Musaf over Mincha in that situation. But otherwise, since their timing is the same, you will always pick the one that is more Tadir. But according to Yehuda, where there is a point where Musaf ends and Mincha continues, then we're going to opt to daven Musaf, so you don't miss out on Musaf, and then you daven Mincha afterwards. Well, how is there an overlap between Musaf and Mincha? Mincha, we know, starts at 12:30, 6.5 hours on the day. Rabbi Yehuda here says that Musaf is until the seventh hour. Well, if you say up till the seventh hour, that's up till 12 o'clock, up till noon. If you say up to including the seventh hour, that's until 1 o'clock. The only way for there to be overlap between Mincha and Musaf is to say up to and including, Ad Ve'ad Bichlal. And that's the Gemara's point here. Iyam Ad Bishlama Ad Ve'ad Bichlal, up to and including, Hainin Mishkach Adu Shtei Tfilot Ba'ad De'adodi. That's how you have a stira, an overlap between mincha and musaf. There's no way to have musaf and mincha overlap. Given the achilah shel mincha, azalah shel musafim. By the time Zman Mincha comes at 12:30, Musaf's already done at 12 o'clock. Elamai. So now what do you want to suggest? Advad Bichlal, Kosher Reisha. Then we're back to the problem in the Reisha, which is by Plaga Mincha. So Ma'ika ben Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbona when it comes to Mincha time. So when it says, Misafarad Dahai Plaga Mincha Plaga Chorona Kamar, that's what we concluded yesterday. That the Plaga Mincha that Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about is the latter half. You have two halves of Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana begins 9.5 hours on today at 3:30, and it goes until 6 o'clock. That is a span of 2.5 hours. You split it in half, that's 1.25 hours. We said yesterday, well, he must be talking about the latter half, because in the Mishnah, it says, what time is Plaga Mincha? 11 hours minus 1/4 at 10:45. So that's the beginning of the second half. So that's why we said that he was speaking about the second plag. But the Gemara says if you do that, you're running into a problem of ad v'ad bichlal. If we think that Rabbi Yehuda believes up to and including is the principle of governance here, then you can have a problem because then he has the same din as a chachamim. So what are we going to suggest? Rather, plag rishona kamar. He's talking about the first plag that starts at 3:30. V'hochi kamar. Ema nofik plag rishona v'ayo plag achrona. At 3:30, which is when it starts. So that plag goes from 3:30 until 4:45. So we're going to say up to and including that half. Up to means at 3:30, including means until 4:45, and that gets us the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda of Plaga Mincha. The reason that they mentioned the 11 hours minus 1/4 in our Mishnah is because that's the changeover between the first half and the second half. And this is the way to read the Mishnah, which is, Eimat Nafik Plag Rishona Vayo Plag Achrona. Where's that threshold where the first half goes out and the second half comes in? Tinapke Yudav Shahod Chaser Revia, 11 hours minus 1/4. And that's the Plaga Mincha. That's the end of the time where Rabbi Yehuda says you can daven. So Rabbi Yehuda says Plag Rishona. The first half is the Zman HaMincha, but that's up to including the first half. So including the first half gets you to the 10:45, 1.25 hours before sunset, the Plaga Mincha of Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore Rabbi Yehuda will hold Ad Ve'ad Bichlal in our Mishnah, and the Chachamim will hold Ad Ve'lo Ad Bichlal. Our Chachamim's opinion is that up until, but not including. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda will be up until and including in our Mishnah. So where it says, Amar Rav Nachman Af Anan Namitanina, we have a Mishnah that supports this position or this understanding. Mishnah Nediot, Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba Heid Chamisha Dvarim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba testified to five things. Number one, Shemim Anim Et Aknana, that sometimes we teach a minor to do or perform Miyun. So Miyun is the ability of a Ktana, a minor, to divorce. And this comes about because her father has passed away. A Ktana cannot marry herself off, but her father has the right to marry her off. That right is only granted to the father. If the father passes away and she's still a Ktana, the Chachamim granted that right to her brother and her mother to marry her off in order that she should not go part of Znut, or she should not have problem of getting married. That marriage is rabbinic, rabbanan in nature, because min haTorah, she either marries herself off when she's old enough, or when she's a minor, her father marries her off. But right now, she's a yatoma. Her father passed away. There is no one to marry her off. Chachamim grant that right to her brother and her mother. You have rabbinic marriage. Now, the marriage can be dissolved also rabbinically. The dissolution of the marriage rabbinically is called miyun. Miyun is simply that the girl says, efshi. I'm not interested in this marriage. When she says, I'm not interested in this marriage, we dissolve the marriage, not only dissolve it prospectively, but retroactively. It dissolves as if the marriage never took place at all. In a case where, this is the situation which Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova is speaking about, two brothers married two sisters. One brother married a sister who is of age, or that he married with the father's permission, and he has a Torah-level marriage. The second brother married the sister, but she was a minor, and it was only rabbinic in nature. Her father had passed away, or she had been previously divorced, he marries her. He only marries her rabbinically. Then the first brother passes away. When the first brother passes away, now there's a din of yibum. The second brother should marry the first brother's wife. They're married min haTorah, but he has a problem now. He's married to her sister. But he's only married to her sister midrabanan. So now this marriage with the Rabbanan is blocking him from performing Yibum Min HaTorah. So what do? We teach her Bimayin. We teach this youngster, this minor, to say, Efshi, I want to divorce me the Rabbanan. That divorce me the Rabbanan is Oker Lamafreya, undermines retroactively the marriage as if they were never married. Well, it's as if they never married. Now this brother can perform Yibum Min HaTorah. So that's one halacha that he brought down. Number two, Shemasiyin et Aisha Pied Echad. This has to do with an aguna whose husband passed away, somewhere where she has no evidence of the fact, and a single aide comes and testifies to the fact that her husband passed away. We allow her to marry based on that one aide. A chicken that killed a baby in Yerushalayim by pecking its head. The chicken is put to death. So this tarnagol was niskal in Yerushalayim, prove that when it says hashur niskal, in the Torah, it doesn't literally mean shor, but shor means any behema, any animal. And we know that from Shabbos. By Shabbat, it says you have to rest, and your animals have to rest. And also mentions that shor v'chamor have to rest. From there, the Gemara learns a binyan av, that anytime it says shor v'chamor, it also means all animals. And so to over here, by the shor niskal, it's not unique to shor, but also applies to our animals like tarnagol. Al yayin ben arbeim yom shenitnaseich agam yizbeach. So because it says, Nesach Sheikhar means it has to be intoxicating for it to go in the Mizbeach. When does wine move from being grape juice to being wine? That's after 40 days. So 40-day-old wine can be used for the Nesachim on the Mizbeach, because then it's moved from being Yayin Megito, from grape juice, over to being wine. Ve'al Tamid Shel Shachar Shekarev Ba'arba Shaot. And this is what we're after over here. The Tamid Shel Shachar is brought for the entire 4 hours. It can be brought anywhere in the 4 hour span. Shmamina, from that you conclude, ad vad bichlal shmamina. It means up to and including. Because if it's only up to, then there'd only be a 3 hour span where you could bring the tamid shel shachar. The fact that it says up 4 hour span means up to and including the fourth hour. And that is the proof that that must be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Hakana, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda, ho v'tnan bebechirter ki batei. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda because we have a Mishnah in Bechirta. Bechirta is the chosen one. The chosen Mishnayot are the Mishnayot and Idiot. Mishnayot and Idiot are based on a story that we're going to get to at the end of today's daf that really goes into tomorrow's daf, that on that day the Beit Midrash was full and all the testimonies on the Beit Midrash that day could have been tested. And since they were tested and written down, it was an indication that whatever was written in Idiot is l'halacha. And therefore, since this Mishnah is found in Idiot, that says Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, sounds like the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. The al tamid shel shachar shekarev ba'arba shaot. That the tamid shel shachar is burned on the fourth hour. Man tana l'ha de tanan. Who is the author of this that we find? It's really a brayta. I mean, it's the Torah Kohanim. V'cham ha-shemesh v'namas. The sun got hot, and then it melted. Here it's speaking about the man. In the morning, the man fell. And after the people collected the man, baboker, baboker, in the morning, the sun came up, heated up the man, and then the man melted and ran off into the rivers. So ba'arba shaot, at the fourth hour. Ta'omer ba'arba shaot, is that when it happened at the fourth hour? Or inu elabashay shaot, at the sixth hour. It says v'chama shemesh. When is it v'chama shemesh? Is that the fourth hour? Or is that the sixth hour? Is that noon? Shomer by Avram Avinu, by the Brit Milah, when he's waiting outside his tent afterwards, it says kechom hayom, at the heat of the day. So the Torah already gave us the definition of what's called noon. Noon is chom hayom, the heat of the day. The difference being chom hayom is when it's hot everywhere. That means both in the shade and in the sun, it's hot. Chama shemesh is that it's only hot where the sun is shining. In the shade, it's still cool. So chama shemesh will be defined as the fourth hour. Chom hayom is, the heat of the day, is noontime. I already know Chom Hayom is teaching me the sixth hour. How many came with Chom Hashemesh? Namas, when is it that it's hot in the sun, not in the shade? Ba'arba Shaot, at the fourth hour. Mani, who's the author of this Mechilta? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, velo Rabbanan. It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbanan. What do you mean? It sounds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. What do you mean it's not Rabbi Yehuda? Because I Rabbi Yehuda, ad arba Shaot, na mitzafrahu. According to Rabbi Yehuda, until the fourth hour, is still morning time. The problem is that it says by the man, that they took, collected the man, baboker, baboker, in the morning. Now, if you're saying that it melted at the fourth hour, that means morning ends at the fourth hour. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that morning goes until and including the fourth hour. That means that the Mechilta is suggesting that the morning ends after the third hour, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying that morning ends after the fourth hour. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda cannot be the author of this Mechilta. Irabbanan, according to Rabbanan, Chatzot, Nami Tzafro. But I don't think morning goes until noon, because they think you can daven Shacharit until noon. So it says, Ibaiteima Rabbi Yehuda, Ibaiteima Rabbanan. Some say that it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda, some say it's authored by the Rabbanan. Ibaiteima Rabbanan, Amar Kroa, Baboker, Baboker, Chelkeu, Lishnei Bikarim. Divide the morning in half. The morning extends, according to the Chachamim, 6 hours. From sunrise until noon. From sunrise until noon, which is from the beginning of the day until the sixth hour of the day. You divide that in half, it's the third hour of the day. So when the Torah says that they collected the man baboker baboker, it means after the first morning, before the second morning. And that is at the third hour of the day. So that's one opinion, that is the Chachamim. Some say that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mechilta. Hai boker yitera lahakdim lo sha'achat. Boker goes until the fourth hour, including the fourth hour. Baboker, baboker means the early morning. The earlier morning is 1 hour before the regular morning, and that's why it goes until the third hour, not the fourth hour. To kulei amo, but everybody believes, miu b'chama shemesh v'namas b'arba shaot, that when the man melted was at the fourth hour. My mashma, how do you know this? So amar Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov amar kra v'chama shemesh v'namas, ezu hi sha'a shemesh cham v'atzel tzonein. When is it hot in the sun and it's still cool in the shade? That's until the fourth hour of the day. That is the empirical time. The Chachamim say it's still cool in the shade, warm in the sun. That's until the end of the third hour, the beginning of the fourth hour. Right? Tefillat Mincha ad Erev. Mincha, according to the Chachamim, goes until evening time. Amalei Rav Chista, the Rav Yitzchak. Hatam Amar Rav Kahano. Halocha ki Rav Yehuda. Hov etznabe bichirta kevatei. Before, we said Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, because we have a Mishnah, an idiot, that supports his position. That was regards to his position about Shacharit. Yehuda Mer HaDalet Shaot. That's what we say. The Chatchila, one must daven in the first 4 hours a day like Rabbi Yehuda. And we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Over here, we have an again, a Machloket Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda as to when the end of Zman HaMincha is. Is it Plaga Mincha like Rabbi Yehuda? Or is it Arerv, Shkia, or Tzeit, according to the Chachamim? So, Hachamai, what's the din over here? Ishtik, velo amar lei, velo mide, did not respond to him. Amar Rav Chista, nechzeyanon. Let's see ourselves what the halacha is. If we can, I didn't get an answer from my Rabbi Yitzchak. Let me try to get an answer for myself. It says, we know, the Rav, matzli shal Shabbat, be'erev Shabbat. He used to daven the tefillah of Shabbat, when it was still erev Shabbat, mi be'od yom, when it was still daytime. Shma mina. How could Rab do that? How could Rab be davening Mariv for Shabbat while it's still daytime? Well, it must be that he holds ke Rabbi Yehuda, that he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So Mar says, Adarabba, mid Ravuna Rabbanan lo havu matzlat orta. Ravuna and the Rabbanan did not agree with Rav, and they would wait to daven Mariv until nightfall. So it's from them it sounds like that the halacha is ke chachamim ein halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So now we have it that the halacha is not like either of them. We don't have a proof. We have Rav practicing one way, Rav Huna and the Chachamim practicing the other way. Since we don't have the halacha dictated in either direction, David Gemar Avod, David Gemar Avod. You can do like either. You can pick. You can paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or you can paskin like the Chachamim. What does that mean? So this is a machloket rishonim, how to interpret this. Most of the Rishonim, Rova Rishonim believe that the Ovid Gemar Ovid, the Ovid Gemar Ovid means you gotta pick one way in life. You get one choice in life. Either you always pass in like Rabbi Yehuda, or you always pass in like the Chachamim. It's not like there's an option, but there's one time you get that option. Once you've made your decision, you have to be consistent in that opinion for the remainder of your life. And truly that's the way the Torah brings it, the Shulchan Aruch brings it. Because the Rambam paskins that way, you know, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, bring in the shame of Rabbeinu Yonah, that they paskin that way. The Rosh seems to lean in that direction, that it's a one-time choice. There are other Rishonim that believe that you just have to be consistent on a given day. On a given day, you can't have it be both Yom and Laila. It either is nighttime after Plaga Mincha, or it's Yom after Plaga Mincha. But if it's a different day, you can once again make the choice. Whether to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or paskin like the Chachamim. There is a small group, a very small group, mostly the Rabbeinu Tam, From Beinu Tam himself, you look in the Tosafot on Bet Amud Aleph, as well as the Rosh quotes a similar idea from Rabbeinu Tam in Siman Aleph. The Rosh says it, and others later on bring it b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, that even on a single day, you can do Tarte Desatre. It can be both night and day. That means you can daven Mincha after Plaga Mincha, and daven Marif before Shkia. Rabbeinu Tam brings this because the practice of those in their dime to daven Marif before sunset and say Kriyat Shema. So we saw this on the first daf of Brachot. How do they do that? How is anybody yotzei Kriyat Shema by davening before Shkia? Because it says, U'bishach b'cha zman shkiva. Everybody agrees that zman shkiva either begins a small time before sunset or sometime after that. Nobody believes zman shkiva begins in the middle of the day or even from Plaga Mincha. So the Rabbeinu Tam claims that when we daven Ma'ariv early, we are paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. And migo, that it works for tefillah, it also works for Kriyat Shema. So when you daven Ma'ariv like Rabbi Yehuda, not only are you yotzei Shmoneh Esrei at that time, you're also yotzei Kriyat Shema. That it's night, it's full-fledged night for Rabbi Yehuda, and that qualifies you for Kriyat Shema as well as Ma'ariv. There, Tosafot asks, well, we're also davening Mincha at that time. They're davening Mincha and Ma'ariv like back to back. That means we're davening Mincha like the Chachamim, and Ma'ariv like Rabbi Yehuda. So that Tosafot moves on. The Ri says no way and moves on to a different answer. But the Rabbeinu Tam believes that it works in that case, even though it's a stira, even though that there is a internal problem. The Rosh, in quoting that Rabbeinu Tam, says, well, do you know what you have to do then? David Gemara, David, how do you explain our Gemara? Gemara says you have to either pick Rabbi Yehuda or Chachamim. He says, if you do like Rabbi Yehuda, then it works all the way. David Gemara of it. If you do like Rabbi Yehuda, it means that not only are you Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei, you Yotzei Kriyat Shema. David Gemara of it. If you daven like the Chachamim, then it's all the way too. If you daven Shmoneh Esrei after Shkia, then you also do Kriyat Shema after Shkia. You just have to be consistent with the Shmoneh Esrei and Kriyat Shema. Not that you have to be consistent between the opinions, you just have to be consistent that whenever you daven Shmoneh Esrei, you daven Kriyat Shema. So that's how the Rosh interprets our Gemara here in order to reconcile with this Rabbeinu Tam. So you therefore have three opinions. Either a lifetime choice, a daily choice, or you don't have to make a choice. You can even have them be soter echad et hasheni. Tosafot does point out, even according to the Rabbeinu Tam, or even to those opinions, that if you paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that does not mean that if you daven Ma'ariv like Rabbi Yehuda, that automatically from Plaga Mincha is it considered to be nighttime. Because then, by Shabbos, if you went to be Mekabel Shabbat, daven Ma'ariv, sometime after Plaga Mincha, does that mean that it's nightfall from Plaga Mincha? Does Shabbat start automatically at Plaga Mincha? No. That's what Tosafot points out, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not automatically nighttime for Shabbat. Shabbat is Mimbe Erev. It's from nighttime, from Shkia to Shkia. If you want to be Mosif Mechala L'Kodesh, you want to make it nighttime for Rabbi Yehuda, that's fine, you can Mekabel Shabbat early. But that doesn't mean that automatically at Plaga Mincha, Shabbat begins, and the same on the other end. It's not automatically over at Motzei Shabbat. Nobody says you can do Melacha after Plaga Mincha on Shabbat day, because it's already nightfall for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's din is a din in Shmoneh Esrei, it's a din in Kriyat Shema, it's not a din in Yom V'Laila. It's not a din in Shabbat. So that's number one. Number two is, what is the din Melacha? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that, like the Torah, make a lifetime choice. The Mishnah Berurah brings from the Achronim that if you are in a situation where it's you have to daven Ma'ariv with a minyan before Shkia, then one should make sure to daven Mincha prior to Plaga Mincha. And from that, it seems from the Achronim that you can make a choice when you're in a situation where that's what would provide you the minyan, that you could make a choice of Rabbi Yehuda on a given day. Then they go one step further. The one step further is the practice that was common in their day, which was to daven Mincha and Ma'ariv between Plag and Shkia. They daven both of them, Tarte Desatre in that time period. So over there, many of the, even the, from the time of the Gaonim, Rishonim, and then into the Achronim, believe because there's a value in davening B'tzibur, that you should daven with the Tzibur even though it's Tarte Desatre. That one should opt to daven the Tzibur, even though you're not Yotzei Kriyat Shema at that time, because we don't hold like the Rabbeinu Tam according to most, even though you're not Yotzei Kriyat Shema, because it's better to daven Shmoneh Esrei with the Tzibur than it is to be Somech Gula Tefillah by Ma'ariv. You'll say Kriyat Shema later on, you'll be Yotzei Kriyat Shema later on, you won't have Smicha Gula Tefillah, even though later on, some of the Rishonim, like the Rashba and others, suggest that you could even have Smicha Gula Tefillah, because Birkat Kriyat Shema might be able to be said even when you're not Yotzei Kriyat Shema. And therefore you can have both, Smicha Gula Tefillah and Shmoneh Esrei. So many of the Achronim suggest that you could even daven Tartei Desatri on a given day, if that's the only way you can get a minyan. Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Derech HaChaim, but the Mishnah Berurah then says in the Shaar HaTzion that he doesn't like it. He says you should opt out. And he brings in the Be'er Halacha from the Gra, who says better to daven b'yechidut, ma'ariv b'zmano, than to daven Tartei Desatri, ma'ariv like Rabbi Yehuda. As long as that's when you normally daven, if you normally daven after Shkia, then better to daven b'yechidut, than to daven with the Tzibur, if they're davening before the Zman of Kriyat Shema.
And now if you have a lot of the
right, and they daven Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha, right.
So
the Gra is not in favor of that, because he said you should wait to do Kriyat Shema b'zmano. If you normally daven late, then you should always daven late, and you should opt to daven b'yechidut, and there the Gra says, even on Shabbos. Even in a case where it's Shabbat, you should opt to daven b'yechidut later on, in order to daven b'zman, and not to daven early with the minyan. So the Shulchan Aruch says that on Erev Shabbat, one should daven Ma'ariv early. But most say that that doesn't mean before Shkia. It just means earlier than you normally do on a regular weekday. But the Magen Avraham and others bring that that means early before Shkia. And that even though normally we daven Ma'ariv after Shkia and we pass like the Chachamim, on Erev Shabbat, maybe we should pass them like Rabbi Yehuda. And maybe even the Chachamim agree. And this is based, the Magen Avraham brings this idea down, the Aruch HaShulchan also, it's more famous, I think, through the Aruch HaShulchan, that we know that Tefillat Erev, Ma'ariv, is connected, the Evarim Ubdarim that are put on Mizbeach overnight. The din is, Karbonot are Doche Shabbat, but it's only Olat Shabbat B'Shabbato. Karbonot of Shabbat are Doche Shabbat. Karbonot of previous days are not Doche Shabbat. The Evarim Darim are from the previous day's Karbanot. They're from the previous day's Karbanot, and you can't bring them on Friday night because they're not Doche Shabbat. That means they must be put on the Mizbeach before Shabbat. That's the case. Ma'ariv should be on Erev Shabbat, should be before Shkia, just like the Evarim Darim. Yesterday we saw Tosafot says the same thing by Yaakov Avinu. Follow the Medrash by Haran, that he went all the way to Haran and came back. It sounds like Yaakov also daven Ma'ariv before Shkia. And therefore the Loch is like Rabbi Yehuda. So based on that, there are those that suggest that one could daven Ma'ariv even before Shkia on Erev Shabbat. And maybe even if you hold like the Chachamim, it would be okay to daven. And would justify the position of davening Tartei Desatrei on Erev Shabbat. That's the 7 o'clock minyan in Chutz La'aretz, not davening around Plag, but davening at 7 o'clock, which has no relevance to Plag. Even though it's Tartei Desatrei, that might be justified by this position. Even though many disagree, including the Mishnah Berurah, says that he thinks even in that situation you should not do Tartei Desatrei. If you're going to daven early like Rabbi Yehuda, you should daven Mincha before Plaga Mincha, and not do Tartei Desatrei. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be so thorough himself. In one place he seems to indicate you should opt out, and you should not daven like this, Tartei Desatrei, even if it gets you a minion. The other place he says, if you have no other choice, and that's the only way to get a minion, that you could daven Tartei Desatrei. It's a stira between Reish Lamed Gimel and Reish Lamed Hey in the Mishnah Berurah. The common practice is to daven with a minyan, even though it's Tartei Desatrei, and then say Kriyat Shema again later. Rav Shechter says that one should opt out, and no, that you shouldn't daven Tartei Desatrei. If you didn't daven Mincha earlier, then one should daven B'Yechidut, one of the Tefillot. The question is, which of the Tefillot should you daven B'Yechidut? You have a choice now between Mincha and Ma'ariv. So generally we know, and we're going to see later in today's daf, Tefillot Arvit, Rishut. So Tefillat Arvit is Rishut, Tefillat Mincha is a Chobah. If you had to opt for which one to daven Minyan, you would daven Mincha b'Minyan, and you would daven Ma'ariv b'Yechidut. The exception might be by Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Ramban al Torah says that, what does it mean to be Zachor? Right, Zachor, it's Yom HaShabbat L'Kodesho. The Ramban al Torah says, L'Kabe Bate Knesiot, to gather together in the shuls, and to daven to Hashem. Therefore, according to the Ramban, it might be that davening Ma'ariv b'Minyan is a Din d'Oraita. It's a din d'oraita when it comes to Ma'ariv and Shabbat. In that case, you should opt to daven Mincha b'yechidut and Ma'ariv with a minyan. I think that's the way the Reb Shechter holds, is that if you come into this Tartei Desatrei situation, you should daven Mincha earlier by yourself, b'yechidut, and daven Ma'ariv with the minyan, in order that you daven Ma'ariv together with the minyan, and be miyotze this din d'oraita of the Ramban, timi mekadesh the Shabbat, ayudei minyan. The other thing that we note is that Rav was matzli b'erev Shabbat. Rav daven on Erev Shabbat. So we see that Rav did such a thing, he daven early. Question is, did he daven Tartei Desatrei or not? The assumption may be that he did not. daven tarte desadre. And therefore, one could bring in the Shabbat early by davening Ma'ariv early, but there's no proof from that that he davened tarte desadre. Someone suggests from Rav's davening early on Shabbat that it seems like the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. There are others that say, no, we mentioned one of the ways to explain this, even according to the Rabbanan, and that is because when we say Tfilat Erev in Lakeva, that it has no fixed time, and that is that Ma'ariv starts when Mincha ends. Ma'ariv ends when Shacharit starts. And over here, where Rav was Mekabel Shabbat early, once you're Mekabel Shabbat, you can't daven Mincha anymore. If you can't daven Mincha anymore, Zman Ma'ariv starts, maybe even according to the Rabbanan. We also had mentioned the Shita of the Magen Avraham, the Orach HaShulchan, that on Erev Shabbat, maybe one can daven early, even according to the Rabbanan. The Rosh also adds another explanation and says, maybe Rav held like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Tfilot be'emsa tignum, that the Tfilot were in the middle. And therefore, Rav was davening Shmon Esrei early, and he was going to say Kriyat Shema later. And so there's no proof from Rav that he davened Ma'ariv early, or he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda, or he thinks you can say Kriyat Shema early. And now the Gemara continues. Rav ikla the Beit Ganeva, Talisha Shabbat, Be'erev Shabbat. This is this incident with Rav. He went to Ganeva, or the base manager of Ganeva, and he davened Ma'ariv Shabbat already when it was still daytime. Rabbi Matzli, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ba'aba, Lachorei. Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ba'aba was davening Lachorei the Rav, behind Rav. B'si'im Rav, Rav finished Shmon Esrei, V'lo Paske, L'tzlo de Rabbi Yirmiyah. He wasn't willing to step out of his Shmon Esrei into the sphere of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Shema minat talat. From this you conclude three things. Number one, Shema minat mitala adam shel Shabbat ve'erev Shabbat. The first one is that you can daven Ma'ariv early on Erev Shabbat, you can begin Shabbat early. Shema minat mitzpadal tamid achrei rabo. Rabbi Yirmiyah is a talmid of Rav, and he's davening behind his Rebbe. So here we learn that it's mutter to daven behind your Rebbe. Shema minat asur lavor keneged ha-mitvalim. The last thing is, Rav didn't back up out of his Shmon Esrei, because then he would have come into the sphere, the airspace of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and you're not allowed to do that when somebody's davening. So Messiah, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Dam Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Asur la'avor keneged ha-mitpalim. You're not allowed to walk in front of people who are davening Shmon Esrei. Ini, Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yasi Chalfe. We see Rabbi Yami Yasi passing in front of people davening all the time. So my says, Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Yasi Chutz la'arba amot u'dechalfe. That's outside of the four amot. The sphere of a person is four amot. So his four amot are the place that you can't walk. If you're outside of that sphere, then you can walk and you're not interrupting the tefillah. Same thing we saw in Beit HaKorot earlier. So I consider to be the makoma mate when you're arba omot of the mate. That's the sphere of influence of the individual. Right, so in a case where a person puts themselves in a position where they're blocking the access of the tzibur, I don't think that the tzibur is forced or subjugated to this individual Shmon Esrei, and nobody can pass there anymore. There's a balance, meaning that there's consideration on both sides. You can't just dive in wherever you want and block people out. You also know that if there is a ten tefachim, if there's a mechitza between you and the other individual, that there is no problem. Right, so in most shuls, even though people will not back up, if you have a shtender or a bench that are in front there, they have the pews. Most pews are 10 tefachim, they're within 3 tefachim of the floor. They probably are a mechitza, and you probably could back up, even though there's someone davening Shmon Esrei behind you. You can check with your local rav about that, but it's very likely that people who do wait, it's nice, but they may not have to wait because you have the mechitza. Right, so it's a problem. First answer is come on time. The second answer is don't block access. And if you do, then you can have to expect that the Gemara speaks about an ani, poor person, people have a kinyan of 4 amot around them. So the Gemara there talks about an ani who's coming to collect the matnot aniim. And he goes to grab him. The ani, within 4 amot, he gets all the matnot aniim around him so they don't fight. If he, instead of opting for that, he lies down on the matnot aniim, the Gemara over there says that he's not koneh in the arba amot. Because he showed by his action that he doesn't care about the 4 amot because he laid down. If he just stood up, he would have had the 4 amot without having to lay down. When he lays down, it means that he's opting out. I would say the same thing over here. A person davening Shmon Esrei in an access or egress area is basically opting out of the arba amot. The fact that he put himself in a public thoroughfare already says that he doesn't consider his arba amot to be important because he's putting himself in a public thoroughfare. That's how I would think about it. It's Rabbi Yirmiyah Eichel Abid Hochi. Rabbi Yirmiyah, how did he daven behind Rav? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav Olam Alitzvelel Adam. Person should not daven lo keneged rabo, not opposite to his Rebbe. Rashi says here, Eitzel Rabo, that means next to his Rebbe, because it's Marek Elohim Shavim, it looks like they're on par, they're peers. V'lo Acharei Rabo, and not behind his Rebbe. Rashi says you shouldn't do that, because Nami Yehurohu. Seems like you're haughty. If you dive behind your Rebbe, it looks like you're in the same plane, you're in the same level as your Rebbe. Tosfot says no, because it looks like you're bowing down to your Rebbe. You shouldn't daven behind your Rebbe. Here it's clear that one shouldn't daven behind the Rebbe, and Rabbi Yirmiyah did. Right, so in front of your Rebbe, it also seems to be problematic. You should daven off to the side and behind, which is an indication you're not on the same level, but you're also not blocking him. You're not right behind him. So with Daniel, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Mitwalel, Acharei, Rabbo, someone who davens behind his Rebbe, even though Tein Shalom, the Rabbo, and someone who greets his Rebbe, Vachmogzir Shalom, the Rabbo, and someone who responds to his Rebbe, Vacholekel, Yishvitosh, Rabbo, and someone who disagrees, has a machloket with his Rebbe, Omer, Dabar, Shalosh, Shemavi, Pi, Rabbo, and someone who says over something in the name of his Rebbe that he didn't hear from his Rebbe, Goreim L'Shechinah to Stalek Mi'Israel, causes the Shechinah to leave Klal Yisrael. I'll go back and explain all of these. Shiny Rabbi Yirmi Rabbo, the Talmid Chover Abu. Rabbi Yirmi Rabbo is different because he was not just a Talmid. He's a Talmid Chover, which is, he was a Talmid, but also a peer of Rav. And the Gemara is going to prove that in 1 second. Therefore, he was not considered to be a Talmid davening behind his Rebbe. He was a peer davening alongside of his Rebbe, and that was fine. Now, what about the other items here? So that's a mitpalel achrei rabbo. That's problematic, unless he's a Talmud Chover, or he is a peer. Notin shalom the rabbo, what's wrong with greeting your Rebbe? And what's wrong with responding to a greeting from your Rebbe? The answer is that he doesn't do it properly. He says, shalom alecha. He says, shalom aleichem, shalom alecha. He greets his Rebbe without giving his Rebbe the proper title. He should be saying, shalom alecha, Rebbe Umori. He leaves it out, but he greets him like any other person and says, shalom alecha. So by leaving out Rebbe Umori, that is problematic. Shamacha Rabbi or Rabbi Mori, Mishonim bring both Lashonot down. It's not tefillah there, it's saying Shalom Aleichem. But Kiddush Levana is the day you can say when you say it to your Rebbe. Alright, and obviously, Acholik Lashutosh Rebbo, and over Devar Shamar Shlobi Rebbo, and his name is Rebbe, those are clear why those are problematic, that I don't have to explain. Now, how do you know that Rabbi Yirmi is a Talmud Chover of Rav? I know Tekamalei Rabbi Yirmi, the Barab of the Rav. Mi Bedalt, when you daven early on Erev Shabbat, Ma'ariv, like we saw Rav did you stop doing Malocha? Samalai, in Bedilna, I did. But how did Rabbi Yirmiyah address Rav? He just addressed him directly. He says, Mi Bedalt, did you stop doing Malocha? V'lo Amar, Mi Bedil Mar. He didn't use a title or some sort of formality to address his Rebbe. But he says, just, Mi Bedil. Not Mi Bedil Mar, but Mi Bedil, indicating that he was a Talmud Chover of Rav. Where it says, Mi Bedil, did he really stop doing Malocha? V'amar Rabbi Avin, Pamachatit below Rabbi Shal Shabbat, Berev Shabbat. One time, Rabbi David early, Ma'ariv, Ma'ariv, Shabbat. V'nichnas l'merchatz. V'yotza. He went into the bathhouse, took a bath, came out, v'shan alam pirkin, and then taught us Torah. V'adayin lo chashecha. And it still wasn't dark. So we know they davened before sunset, way before sunset. Yet, he was still doing Malocha afterwards, because he went into the bathhouse. Amarova. First of all, he didn't take a bath. How did Nichtas Lazia? Number one, he wasn't going in to take a bath, but rather to take a schwitz. He was going in for the sauna. Number two is, Vikodim Gezeira Havo. It was prior to the Gezeira, the Gemara in Shabbat, we'll get to that. When we get to the Gemara in Shabbat, the Gemara in Shabbat goes through a series of Gezeirot that disallowed bathing on Shabbat, and then later on, going into a schwitz on Shabbat. The problem was that the Balanim, the bathhouse keepers, were not such honest people, and when they allowed the people to utilize them on Shabbat, they were heating the water on Shabbat, even for the Shvitz. So therefore, the Chachamim over time were Oser, not only Rechitza on Shabbat, but even Hezea on Shabbat, which is taking a Shvitz on Shabbat. But Rabbi, before this Gezeira, since Rabbi was before the Gezeira, he wasn't doing Malacha on Shabbat. He was Mekabel Shabbat. He went into the bathhouse to be Mezia. That's perfectly allowed. That was allowed on Shabbat in that time. And he was keeping Shabbat, and he did keep the Malacha, so there's no proof that Rabbi didn't do this. Where it says, Ini, is that true? He allowed him to smoke his baskets with sulfur. I guess that's to make them more solid or to make them waterproof. So he allowed him to do this, even after he davened Ma'ariv on Erev Shabbat. Where it says, that was a mistake. Wait, it's just because he made Shabbos early by mistake, that means that he wasn't make Kabbal Shabbat? We have another case when that's not true. Amar Avidan, or Avidan, Pamachad Nitkashru Shamayim Bavin. There was this incident where it got dark out, the clouds came, covered over the sun, it got dark. Kisvurim Amlo Mar Chashechu, they thought it was nightfall. V'nichnesu Lebeit Knesset Yipalusha Motzei Shabbat V'Shabbat. And they davened Motzei Shabbat, but it was really still Shabbat. Nitpazra Avim, all of a sudden the clouds dissipated. V'zachah HaChama, and they saw the sun. They came and asked Rabbi, Vamar, Hov, Itzbalu, Itzbalu. Since they davened, they davened already. Once you davened, you davened. When I said, Shani Tzibor, Taloma Tzvachina, no. Now that's an issue of tefillah. It's tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur, we're not going to make them come back and daven again. And that's not a din in Shabbat. Nobody says that they ended Shabbat then, that Shabbat was over. They still had to keep Shabbat. Now, it's true in that instance that they kept Shabbat because that's the chumrah. Just because you daven Motzei Shabbat early doesn't mean that you can end Shabbat early. But who says that that works on Erev Shabbat? Over here, they did it the chumrah, which is that they kept Shabbat. But we don't have any proof from here that on Erev Shabbat, if you daven early, then you would also say that they are Mekabel, or Machmer to be Mekabel Shabbat over there. Because over here, they have to keep it until Motzei Shabbat. Over there, you bring in Shabbat early. Tosafot says that, when you say Shemir Zibur, they were not Osir Basiyat Malacha, even though it was a mistake. So when it's a mistake, we don't force you to keep the Isra Malacha except on the Motzei Shabbat case. On the Motzei Shabbat case, you have to keep it because you have to go to Chumrah. But on Erev Shabbat, where it's a mistake, we're not going to force you to keep Shabbat because you made a mistake. You're Mekabel Shabbat early. You don't have to be Mekabel Shabbat. And therefore, we're not going to say over there that you were Mekabel Shabbat. And that explains the case of Bai being Matir Reb Dimi Bar Levi to do Melocha when he davened before Shabbat because there was a mistake. And a mistake, we don't say that you're automatically Mekabel the Shabbat. That's the way Tosva learns. Tosva learns the simple way of the Gemara that you have no proof from here because we see when you make a mistake, the davening counts, but that doesn't mean that Shabbat is affected. Rashi says that the conclusion from this is that it does work. The tefillah works, and it works well enough that you are Mekabel Shabbat. And that's the conclusion from this. This proves what Rav did, which is that if you daven early, you're also Mekabel Shabbat. Because over there, the only reason that they didn't let the Shabbat go out was because you're dealing with Doraita. At Doraita of Shabbat, they were not going to let you say, oh, do Melacha, because you davened. But in a case where it's before Shabbat, and over there, if you daven, we'll say it's efficacious, and you are on the Kabbal Shabbat. So Rashi and Tosafot come to opposite conclusions about what the meaning of this Hov Itbalu is. Tosafot seems to move with the flow of the Gemara, the simple understanding, which is it's a proof that when you make a mistake, it doesn't impact. Whereas Rashi says that it shows you that tefillah is efficacious in creating the Shabbat, bringing the Shabbat, just like it wouldn't take out the Shabbat. Just over there, it's Minatoru, you can't take out Shabbat, so the tefillah counts, but not take the melacha you can't do. Amar Rav Chiya b'Avin Rav, Tzali Shal Shabbat b'Erev Shabbat. He used to daven Mariv on Erev Shabbat. Rabbi Yoshua Matzli Shal Motzei Shabbat b'Shabbat. He used to daven Avdolah on Motzei Shabbat before Shabbat was over. Rav Tzali Shal Shabbat b'Erev Shabbat Omer Kedusha Al HaKos. Oh, I know Omer Kedusha Al HaKos. If you do that, can you make Kiddush on the coast or not? Tashma, Davram Nachman Arishmo, Mitvalo Adam Shal Shabbat b'Erev Shabbat Omer Kedusha Al HaKos, Hilchot HaKavatei. Pretty simple. If you bake Shabbat early, like Rabbi Yehuda, you daven Maariv, not only is it Maariv good, you made it Shabbat, and you can make Kiddush Al HaKos, and you can eat your meal then. Should be makpid. If you do this, to make sure you have a kazayit of challah after Shki or after Tzeit, in order to be sure that, according to all the opinions, that you are Yotze. Omer Abdallah HaKos, so ain't Omer Abdallah HaKos. Can you make Abdullah on Shabbat itself? Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Mitvala Adam Shemotzei Shabbat b'Shabbat, V'Omer Abdullah Lakos. You're allowed to make Abdullah Lakos. I'm Rabbi Zeira, I'm Rabbi Yassi, I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Chanina, I'm Rabbi B'Tzad, Amud Zei, Yitvala Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Shal Shabbat, B'Erev Shabbat. Next to this pillar, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, the Tana, davened early on Erev Shabbat, Ma'arif, Tiyat Ula, when Ula came from Bavel, Amar B'tzad, Tzmara, Hava, first of all, was next to a date tree, Velo B'tzad Amud Hava, not next to a pillar, Velo Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi Hava. The character in the story is not Rabbi Shmuel B'Rabbi Yossi, Ela Rabbi Loza B'Rabbi Yossi, Tana, Hava, Velo Shal Shabbat, B'Erev Shabbat, and it wasn't a case on Erev Shabbat, El Shal Motzei Shabbat B'Shabbat Hava, Yidavin early, Mariv, on Motzei Shabbat, on Shabbat itself. Now, Tosafot points out over here that the permissibility of davening early on Motzei Shabbat is only if it's Litzorech Mitzvah. Litzorech Mitzvah, you have to do something after Shabbat and it's Litzorech Mitzvah, we give you a dispensation to daven Maariv early in order that you can go out right after the Shabbat. Otherwise, Tosafot says, you have to daven Maariv later because there's a din of Tosefet Shabbat. And Tosefet Shabbat means you mean mostly Mechalal HaKodesh. That means you should let out Shabbat late, not early. And therefore, he's against davening early when that situation arises. And the Mishnah Brura brings down the halacha that one should not do this. One should not daven on Motzei Shabbat before Motzei Shabbat. It's a common practice in many communities to daven Maariv before the end of Shabbat, and he says it brings to a takala gidola. Tosfot mentions over here, which is that even if you daven Maariv early, you're still usher b'malacha. And most people think once they've daven Maariv, they can do malacha, and therefore a takala gidola comes out of these situations where people daven early, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah is against doing this. Even b'makom mitzvah, he seems to say that one should not practice this of davening early on Motzei Shabbat. All right, next. Tvilat Ayerev in Lakeva. Maariv has no set time. Ma in Lakeva. Ilema di bay matzli kula da'ilya. If it means that he can daven all night, litne tvilat Ayerev kula laila. Then let him say that Maariv goes all night. Elamai in Lakeva. What does it mean in Lakeva? Sikamanda Amar tvilat Arvit Rishut. It's like the one who says that Maariv is optional. Tamar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tvilat Arvit. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Chuva. Rabbi Gamliel says it's an obligatory tvila. Rabbi Shua Omer Rishut. It's an optional tefillah. Amar Abaye Alocha Kedibri Omer Chuba. Abaye Paskin is like the one who says it's obligatory. Rava Amar Alocha Kedibri Omer Rishut. Rava says it's like the one who says it's a Rishut. Abaye V'Rava Alocha Ke Rava. That means that Maariv is a Rishut. Now Tosafot over here mentions what he mentioned in the beginning of the parak, that when we say Rishut, Rishut does not mean optional. Optional would mean that you have a choice. You can choose to say it or not. Tosafot says that's not the meaning of Rishut over here. The meaning of Rishut is here is as opposed to a mitzvah or a chova. A chova means that it's an obligatory item, and it would be docha other mitzvot to daven Maariv. On the other hand, Rishut means that as long as there's no other competition, Maariv is an obligation. But if Maariv comes up against another mitzvah, we would opt for that other mitzvah over Maariv, and that's what it means Rishut. Tosafot does that because of a number of issues, including what happened back on Daf Dalet. Back on Daf Dalet, we have a machloket with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi as regards whether there is smichut gula d'tfila in Maariv. Rabbi Yochanan says that smichut gula d'tfila applies even at Maariv time. Tosfot says, wait a minute. If we paskin that Maariv is a reshut, how could it be that smichut gula d'tfila is a chova at night? Now over here we have Rava, halacha k'Rava, which is that tefillah is reshut. Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yochanan, that smichut d'gula tefillah is chova. I mean, smichut d'gula tefillah applies at night, which implies that Maariv is a chova. Now you have a stira in the psach between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava. In addition to that, in the Gemara in Yoma, it says Rav Amar that Maariv is a reshut. So now if you have a stira between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, you would pass him like Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, halachic Rabbi Yochanan, that would indicate that Maariv should be a chova, not a reshut. So how do we have this, how do we reconcile between that? So Tosafot over there says, gives a number of answers. One is that Maariv is really a reshut, but if you daven Maariv, you should be so mechulu the tefillah. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that tefillah Daariv is a reshut, but when you daven Maariv, you should make sure to do smichut gula the tefillah, even though it's a reshut. And therefore, he does not line up the opinion saying that just because he says smichut gula tefillah means that it's a chova. This will also explain why when one misses Maariv, he daven shacharit twice. If tefillah Daariv is a reshut, it's optional, then why would you ever daven shacharit twice to make it up? But if you explain reshut as not being optional, but rather it's as opposed to a mitzvah or a chova, if you have nothing else going, you daven Maariv. If you have competition, then you leave Maariv out. That would explain there really is an obligation to daven Maariv. And that obligation is what makes you chayav if you miss Maariv to daven shacharit twice. And based on that, we could also then reconcile between Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of smichut gula tefillah and the reshut over here. Not like the previous answer where he said it's really a reshut. And if you do it, you should do like Rabbi Yochanan to be smichut gula tefillah, but rather, the reshut here is really a quasi-chova. And that chova is equivalent to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion over there, that you have to be somet gula tefillah, and also explains why you daven shacharit twice when you miss Maariv. On the other hand, Tosafot over there brings another opinion. He hints at it over here, and is explicit about it in the Gemara in Megillah and Daf Chav Gimel. Tosafot says over there, the reason we say a chatzi kaddish in Maariv is to show that it is a reshut. We daven Maariv and then say chatzi kaddish between Gal Yisrael and Shmon Esrei, because we want to show that Maariv is a reshut, and we do that by separating between gula tefillah, and that there is no smichut gula tefillah. And based on that, Tosafot says, that Tosafot seems to indicate that if you believe smichut gula tefillah, that means that you believe it's a chova, and we paskin it's a reshut, and therefore we say kaddish, and we break between this smichut gula tefillah, and in Ochanami, we pass like Rova over Rabbi Yochanan in this situation. Alright, Tana Rabbanan. This is a famous story. The Gemara continues all the way into tomorrow's Amud. We'll get the beginning of the story and complete the rest of it tomorrow. Maseh b'talmid achad shabad lifnei Rabbi Yeshua. Talmid came to Rabbi Yeshua, malei tefillat arvit reshut o chuva. Is married reshut o chuva? I'm malei reshut. Rabbi Yeshua shitato says it's a reshut. Bad lifnei Rabbi Gamliel, I'm malei tefillat arvit reshut o chuva. He goes to Rabbi Gamliel and asks him the same question. I'm malei chuva. Says that it's an obligation, just like his shita. The shitatam, they answered him. So Rabbi Yeshua Marli Rishut. Didn't Rabbi Yeshua tell me that it's a Rishut? Now this person, this Talmud, did something wrong. You're not allowed to go around and ask different people the psak. The Ramah Paskins that you are allowed to do that when you indicate to the second person that you got a psak from the first person already. Had he gone to Rabbi Gamliel and said Rabbi Yeshua said it was a Rishut, then he could have asked Rabbi Gamliel the opinion. Here he asked Rabbi Gamliel first, and then only afterwards told him that he had asked Rabbi Yeshua already, which is problematic. So I'm Tainai Chikansu Balet Yusin the Beit Midrash. Wait for the Talmud Chachamim. The battlers to come into the Beit Midrash in the Talmud Chachamim. So Kenichtusu Balei Jusim Amada Shuel B'Sha'al Tefillat Rishut Chovah. So they began the learning and they got up. The questioner said, "Is it Rishut or Chovah?" So Amalei Rabbi Gamliel Chovah. Rabbi Gamliel answers that it's an obligation. Amalei Rabbi Gamliel Chachamim Kumi Yesh Adam Shcholek B'Davar Zeh. Anybody argue on me? Amalei Rabbi Yeshua Love. Nobody argues on you. Amalei V'Alo Mishmech Amruli Rishut. I heard over in your name that that's not what you say, that you say really it's a reshut. Amalei Yeshua, Amodar Galilecha, stand up, be Yidubucham, and they'll testify against you. That Talmud was there. Let him testify that he heard from Rabbi Yeshua that it's a reshut. Amad Rabbi Yeshua, Raglav Amar, Yamalei Ani Chai Vehu Meit. If I was alive, and this Talmud was dead, or the person who asked me was dead, Yechol Echad Achishet Ameit. I could contradict the one who was dead, because he couldn't come back, and argue with me. I'm alive and he's alive. I can't deny that I gave that psak, that it's a reshut. Rabbi Yehoshua continued to be sitting and doresh. Rabbi Yehoshua made al raglav. And Rabbi Yehoshua was left standing. Rabbi Yehoshua left him. Until the people started to murmur. Amod, stop. The Chutzpita Medugaman is the equivalent of a microphone, a megaphone for Rabbi Gamliel. So when he directions, he tells that to Chutzpita Medugaman, and then he repeats it loudly, and if necessary, translates it into the colloquial. So they told him, stop doing that for Rabbi Gamliel. Vamadi, stop. Amre, they said, I come in, it's Arei Ben Ezel. How long is Rabbi Gamliel going to treat Rabbi Yeshua like this? B'Rosh Hashanah Eshtokad Tzarei. Last year on Rosh Hashanah, he did the same thing. He did the same thing by Bechorot in the case of Rabbi Tzadok. This is the third time he's done this. Tav and Avrei, let's remove him. The case of Rosh Hashanah is that they had a machloket about the day on which Rosh Hashanah should fall. They had a machloket with regards to the Eilut HaChodesh. Rabbi Yeshua, therefore, had a different Rosh Hashanah and a different Yom Kippur than Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua come on the day that was Yom Kippur for Rabbi Yeshua. He made him come to Rabbi Gamliel with his staff and all his paraphernalia in order that he would violate Yom Kippur, the Shitato. That's one case. The case of the Bechor is a case where Rabbi Tzadok fed his Bechor from a basket and the lip got cut on the basket. So over there, the halacha is that the Chamim say in that instance, you cannot be shochet the Bechor on that mum, because we assume that the person did it on purpose in order to cause a cut. But here we're talking about Rabbi Tzadok, who's a chaver. He didn't do it on purpose, it was an accident. So the question is, do we differentiate an halacha between a chaver like Rabbi Tzadok and an amaretz? Rabbi Yeshua said yes, Rabbi Gamliel says no. So again over there, the same stories like we had over here, he made Rabbi Yeshua stand up, and Rabbi Yeshua says no, I never said it, and then they have a testimony that he did say it, and Rabbi Gamliel left him standing up, very similar to our case over here. So three cases in where Rabbi Gamliel was pogeh on the covet of Rabbi Yeshua. So now they said, Tav and Avrei, we're going to remove him from the nesiut. Rabbi Gamliel was the nasi at the time. Let's remove him from his position. Ma nukim leit, but who are we going to replace him with? Nukim leit Rabbi Yeshua. If you're going to put Rabbi Yeshua in his place, Bal Maisal, he's part of the sikhsuch, the argument here, even though Rabbi Yeshua was somewhat innocent here, it would hurt Rabbi Gamliel terribly if they put Rabbi Yeshua in his place. So nukim leit Rabbi Akiva, let's have Rabbi Akiva replace him. Dilma anishle. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel will daven and have him be punished. Because of Rabbi Akiva's history, we know the story, the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. He does not have zchut avot to protect him if Rabbi Gamliel davens against him. Ela nukma the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We're going to appoint Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as nasi. The hu chacham vu ashir. First of all, he is a talmud chacham. Number two, he's wealthy. Vu asiri leEzra, and he's a tenth generation from Ezra. Hu chacham is a talmud chacham. If we ask questions, he'll be able to answer them. Vuashir is wealthy. If we have to go and placate the Caesar or the government officials, he'll go along and he'll work with us, either because his wealth is at risk or he'll use his wealth to placate him. Vuashiri le'Ezra is the 10th generation from Ezra. That he has chut avot l'matzi onish lei. And Rabbi Gamliel of Yidavins will not hurt him. Atu v'amru lei. Nechalei lamar l'abi resh metivta. They said to him, do you want to become the Rosh Yeshiva? Let me go check with my household. Mara says he went and checked with his wife. That before he took on a position of power, he had to check in with his wife. It happens to be that it might be a good idea in general to do that. But it also might be that becoming a person of the public and serving the public takes away from the person's ability to deal with his family and his wife. And therefore, he has to ask permission before he subjugates himself to the tzibor and takes on the olah tzibor. He has to get permission from his family, who has the first right of refusal on his time. And therefore, he went to check with his wife. Others want to suggest it has to do with the onah of his wife. The onah changes between a Talmud Chacham versus someone who is a nasi. A nasi's onah is once every 30 days, whereas a Talmud Chacham's onah is once a week. And therefore, over here, he was changing his onah, and he had to get permission from his wife to do that. Amrulay, she said to him, Dilma Mabrin Lecha. Maybe they're gonna take you away also. Maybe they're gonna remove you from the siyut. So why bother? If they knocked out Rabbi Gamliel, who says they won't knock you out? A person should use an expensive cup, even though tomorrow might break. As Rashi points out, talking about a glass, very expensive glass. Wealthy people, they use these glass cups, even though there's a possibility they're gonna break, or that in the future they will break. You use it when you have it in order to enjoy it. You don't worry about it breaking the next day. So too here with the going into power being the Nasi. You enjoy it while you have it. If they remove you, you won't have it anymore, but you at least enjoy it while you have it. Basically, better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. So, Amralei, Leitlach Chivarta. You do not have white or gray in your hair, which is a sign of Zigna, of being a elder, Na'el Darshan Liot Zakein. Sometimes a Darshan should be someone who's an older of the community, meaning that's a certain amount of stature and kavod that comes with that. So, Yoma, Bartam de Sare Shane Hava, he was 18 years old on that day. Trachesh Le Nisa, a miracle happened. Vajule, Tam de Sare Dare Chivarto. He had 18 white streaks appear in his beard. Vahainu, to come Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And that is from the Mishnah at the end of the first parak, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Hare Yani Keven Shivim Shana, as if I'm 70 years old. Velo Ben Shivim Shana. But not actually 70 years old, because he was 18. He just looked like he was 70 because he got those white streaks in his beard. Okay, we'll stop over here.